Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our musical trivia questions come to us today from usefultrivia.com and onthisday.com. Question number one, who was awarded the very first gold record? Was that A, Tchaikovsky? Was it B, Frank Sinatra? Was it C, Perry Como? Or was it D, the Beatles? The very first gold record. And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1956 that Elvis Presley shared his musical success with his family by purchasing something special for his mother. What was his gift to her? Was it A, a mansion in Memphis? B, a pink Cadillac? C, a 30-foot-tall magnolia tree? Or D, a grand piano? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of August the 30th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1653, you may remember, that German composer Johann Pachelbel was born. Pachelbel is known for his canon in D major for three violins and ground bass, basso continuo. Admired for its serene yet joyful character, the Pachelbel canon is one of the most widely performed pieces of Baroque music. 1653. And it was 24 years ago today, 1995, that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum ribbon-cutting ceremony took place in Cleveland, Ohio. The museum officially opened the very next day. Once again, 1995. And in country music news, we have this article entitled, Updated CMA Awards, All the Nominations Announced. This is published in CMT.com by Allison Bonaguro on the 28th of August, 2019. Well, now we know which country artist the Country Music Association deemed worthy of one of their coveted CMA Award nominations. The CMA Awards will air live from Nashville on November the 13th with hosts Carrie Underwood, Reba McEntire, and Dolly Parton. For Entertainer of the Year, for example, we have these nominees, Garth Brooks, Eric Church, Chris Stapleton, Carrie Underwood, and Keith Urban. So go to CMT.com for the nominees for the other country music categories. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, French Composer Tragically Killed by Bear During Musical Expedition in Canada. This is published in ClassicFM.com, 22nd of August, 2019. Friends of Julien Gauthier have been paying tribute to the French composer after he was killed by a bear during a musical expedition in Canada. Julien Gauthier, a French-Canadian musician who used sounds of nature in his compositions, has been killed by a grizzly bear in Canada. He was traveling to the Northwest Territories to record sounds for a musical creation when the bear entered his camp in Tulita and dragged him away. Gauthier was traveling with the biologist Camille Toscani, who said that the pair had planned to travel from Fort Providence to Inuvik, two towns separated by more than 1,000 miles of wilderness, in 30 days. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police said they received a distress signal from Toscani, who managed to find another group of hikers after the attack. Due to poor weather conditions, Gauthier's body was not recovered until the next day, The Guardian reports. Gauthier's website says he also taught music at a conservatory and worked with the Paris Philharmonic. Friends have been paying tribute to the composer, who died at just 44 years old. Mark Feldman of the Breton Symphonic Orchestra wrote on the orchestra's Facebook page, "His work was faithful to his curious spirit, humble in front of the vast power and beauty of nature. Above all, he wanted to express to the public, through his music, his love and respect for nature." Julien's last post on Facebook, published on 7 August, recalled 5 days of canoeing and wild camping, 3 without seeing a living soul, except 4 bears. In the same post, he described the landscape in the Northwest Territories as incredible, and the experience as intense, tiring, and inspiring. Reinhardt and Sauer's Russell's Rumba introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's a new album, The Woodstork. Eugene Reinhardt and Doug Sauer's have created a duo guitar album that promotes the feeling of an old-school club with hints of modern flair. The mix of styles and originality make the record easy to digest while leaving the listener with a desire to dig deeper. Here you'll find soulful guitar solos, hot lead lines, groovy rhythms, and a little humor in this wonderfully old-school dedication to 6 strings. It was released on August 25, 2019. And as noted in CDBaby.com, the independent record store by musicians for musicians, Eugene Reinhardt is co-owner of Guru Rec Guitars in Raleigh, North Carolina. He is a private instructor there, as well as one of the on-staff luthiers. His passion for music and guitar has led him to study many different genres and styles. Creativity and expression are the core of his musical foundation. Doug Sauer's is a great talent. While he studies guitar and its wide range of styles, he also is a student of music. His ability to reharmonize, arrange, and bring fresh ideas to a song is remarkable. Doug is a private guitar instructor and can also teach banjo, piano, and ukulele. Reinhardt and Sauer perform at numerous venues, including the Irregardless Cafe in Raleigh, and most recently at the Hibernian Pub in downtown Raleigh for their new album release, The Woodstork, on which this song, Russell's Rumba, appears. Thank you. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Welcome to McDonald's. Would you like a podcast with those fries? With podcasts rising in popularity, it's no surprise that companies are producing their own. What's more surprising is that people are actually listening to them. This is published in the New York Times on the 20th of August, 2019, written by David Yeffie Bellany. The hit podcast, Serial, was the audio investigation that launched 1,000 true crime dramas, inspiring podcasters across the country to attempt ambitious reporting projects with gritty subject matter. There were Dirty John and Hollywood and Crime and Death in Ice Valley and Atlanta Monster. And then there was The Sauce. That three-episode investigative podcast was released last year by the media company Gizmodo and had somewhat lower stakes than the exoneration of a convicted murderer. With an eerie soundtrack meant to recall Serial, the show examined the mystery of how McDonald's underestimated demand for a popular dipping sauce, enraging thousands of its customers. The twist? The hard-boiled investigator scrutinizing that sauce sorcerer was McDonald's itself. The Sauce was a branded podcast that McDonald's paid Gizmodo to produce as a tongue-in-cheek apology to disappointed customers. While it's no exposé, the show offers a vivid illustration of how companies are increasingly using the tropes of popular podcasts in their own audio projects. These are not advertisements, exactly, but subtle brand-building efforts intended to entertain as well as persuade. This year, Facebook began a podcast about entrepreneurship called 3.5 Degrees, and technology companies like Microsoft and Lyft have their own shows. In June, New Balance began collaborating with the podcasting company Gimlet on a show about clothing and sneaker culture. By some estimates, there are now as many as 750,000 podcasts, so it's not necessarily a surprise that major companies are creating their own. What's more surprising is that consumers, conditioned to skip past commercials on YouTube and install ad blockers on their browsers, are actually listening to them. Within a day of its release last year, The Sauce broke into iTunes' top 100 podcast chart, reaching number 94. What makes for a successful branded podcast are a lot of the things that make for a successful podcast, period, says Mount Lieber, a managing director of Gimlet. If a brand wants to make a commercial that's 20 minutes long, it will fail. The exception seems to be Trader Joe's, whose monthly podcast is dedicated entirely to the inner workings of its stores. After the first episode last year, Inside Trader Joe's ranked number 5 on the iTunes chart. The supermarket's loyal following doesn't seem to mind the self-promotion. Inside Trader Joe's has almost a perfect 5-star rating on iTunes. Companies have tried to reach consumers across a variety of mediums, from billboards to television commercials. In 1895, John Deere began printing a magazine, The Furrow, sometimes described as the agrarian version of Rolling Stone. It now has a podcast as well. Branded podcasting actually predates the release of Serial by at least a year. One of the longest-running branded podcasts is an interview show called Keeping You Organized that began in 2013. It's produced by Smead, a company that manufactures manila folders. Every week, the show's host, the Smead marketing manager, John Hunt, interviews a professional organizer about topics like how to efficiently dispose of the scraps left over from cutting coupons out of magazines. The goal of the McDonald's podcast was not simply to sell more dipping sauce, A few months earlier, the chain had been caught in a public relations nightmare when it severely underestimated consumer demand ahead of the reintroduction of his Szechuan sauce, a teriyaki-flavored concoction made famous by the TV show Rick and Morty. At some of the chain's locations, fights broke out as customers tussled over the scant supply of sauce packets. The biggest thing that they wanted to get across was that they were very sorry, said Catherine LeClaire, a freelance writer who hosted the show for McDonald's. Ms. LeClaire, a vegetarian who rarely eats at the fast food chain, was on the team that came up with the idea to frame the podcast as a spoof of Serial. A longtime fan of the show, she listened to old episodes of Serial while composing the script for the sauce. To try to emulate that, Ms. LeClaire said, was almost like an honor. Born to be Wild, featured in the film Easy Rider, introduces our rock music news. It's an article titled, Peter Fonda, star of Easy Rider, dies at age 79. This is written by Chelsea J. Carter and Sarah Moon, CNN, 16th of August, 2019. Actor and director Peter Fonda, who stepped out of his legendary Hollywood father's shadow to become a counterculture icon with his role in Easy Rider, has died. He was 79. Fonda died of respiratory failure due to lung cancer at his Los Angeles home. It is with deep sorrow that we share the news that Peter Fonda has passed away, the family said. In one of the saddest moments of our lives, we are not able to find the appropriate words to express the pain in our hearts. As the son of actor Henry Fonda and the brother of actress-activist Jane Fonda, he was a member of the Hollywood powerhouse family. His daughter is actress Bridget Fonda. In a statement, Jane Fonda said she spent her younger brother's final days with him. I am very sad. He was my sweethearted baby brother, the talker of the family. I have had beautiful alone time with him these past last days. He went out laughing, she said. Fonda broke out as a star with his turn in 1969 blockbuster Easy Rider, which marked its 50th anniversary this year. The film also starred Jack Nicholson and Dennis Hopper. Film critic Roger Ebert called the film one of the rallying points of the late 60s, saying it was a buddy picture that celebrated sex, drugs, rock and roll, and the freedom of the open road. It did a lot of repeat business while the sweet smell of pot drifted through theaters. Ebert wrote of the film in 2004, Fonda was nominated for an Academy Award for the screenplay, a nomination he shared with Hopper. I never stopped working thanks to Easy Rider, Fonda told the LA Times in 2007. His last tweet on August the 9th referenced the film Easy Rider at 50. How they put together that groundbreaking soundtrack, Peter Fonda was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. In honor of Peter, please raise a glass to freedom, the family said. Freedom was a word Fonda used often. I believe that one is only truly free when one is learning, and one can only learn when one is free. Freedom is not just another word for nothing left to lose, Fonda said.
Last one still stinging. Back on my mind, I feel that phone ringing. And there I am,
And in local music news, we have this article, written by Ed Condren, published in the News and Observer on the 23rd of August, 2019, entitled Concerts, Spoon's Music Stands the Test of Time. When Spoon drummer Jim Eno was asked what it's like to be part of a tour that features his band, Beck, and Cage the Elephant, the veteran alt-rocker laughed. "This is like summer camp," Eno says in a phone interview with the News and Observer. "We see the same guys each day. We watch each other's sets. We often will just hang out with each other at a taco truck at the end of the evening." The three acts performed August 24 at Coastal Credit Union Music Park at Walnut Creek. Eno and singer-songwriter Britt Daniel formed the band in 1993. In a phone interview from Saratoga Springs, New York, he talks about the band's forthcoming album. He also details what it was like to be successful enough to make a greatest hits album. And he looks back to one of the band's early showcases, which featured an all-star indie rock lineup. And this has been Spoon performing Everything Hits at Once from 2001 in the background right now. Question, how hard is it to believe that Spoon still exists more than a quarter century after forming? It's been a pleasure watching Britt get better and better as a songwriter since we started. His consistency as a songwriter is a big reason why we're still around. Each of our records is different, and there are twists. We try to make it interesting for us. The last thing we'll ever do is repeat ourselves. We've come a long way from where we were when we made our first album. Article skips down and ends with these two questions. You're good friends with Beck and the guys from Cage the Elephant. It's a fun time, but what's the most pragmatic reason to be part of this tour? Well, we play to 10 to 15,000 people every night, and that's significant because we want people to hear our music. It's great exposure for a band like ours. And finally, question. Don't make it sound like you're just some ordinary band. An ordinary band doesn't release a greatest hits album. What was it like to work on such a project? Well, it wasn't easy. We wanted it to be a three-disc set, but we whittled it down to one album. We decided to go with the songs we play live often. If those songs have stood the test of time, then that's the songs that deserve to be on a greatest hits album. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, who was awarded the very first gold record? Was that A, Tchaikovsky, B, Frank Sinatra, C, Perry Como, or D, the Beatles? And the correct answer is answer C, Perry Como. As noted in History.com on 7/17/19, RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, awarded the first gold record in 1958 to Perry Como for his recording of Catch a Falling Star. Those who've been conditioned to believe that rock and roll wiped out everything in its path on its way toward dominating late 20th century pop music may be surprised to hear that Perry Como was such a viable commercial artist fully 2 years after the arrival of Elvis Presley. Como, a 50-something holdover in a cozy cardigan sweater, stood for everything that youthful rock and roll did not, after all. Where rock and roll promised sex, excitement, and social change, Como's act evokes much more staid pursuits. Yet Catch a Falling Star was not the only hit record for Perry Como in the early years of rock and roll revolution. Songs like Hot Diggity and Round and Round more than held their own against more rebellious fare, and while they may not have been cool, they didn't need to be in order to find an audience in late 1950s America. And the answer to our second question? It was on this very day back in 1956 that Elvis Presley shared his musical success with his family by purchasing something special for his mother. What was his gift to her? Was it A, a mansion in Memphis, B, a pink Cadillac, C, a 30-foot-tall magnolia tree, or D, a grand piano? Correct answer. Answer B, pink Cadillac. As noted in Elvis.com.au, in early March 1955, Elvis bought his first pink Cadillac. It was a pink and white 1954 Cadillac and provided transportation for Elvis and the Blue Moon Boys for about 3 months. The car went up in smoke when a brake lining caught fire on the road on June the 5th, 1955. A month later, Elvis purchased his second pink Cadillac, a new 1955 Cadillac Fleetwood Series 60 in blue with black roof to replace the Cadillac that was burned. He had the car repainted by a neighbor who designed a pink color for Elvis and named the color Elvis Rose. This is one that he gave to his mother, one of the most famous cars in the world. Gladys Presley would always proudly point to it as, quote-unquote, her car, despite she never had a driver's license, and Elvis drove the car with the members of his band for most of the next 2 years. They had a serious accident in Texarkana, Texas, in September 1955. The pink and black Cadillac Fleetwood plowed into an oncoming vehicle that was in the process of passing a pickup truck. Repairs came to approximately $1,000. Well, in honor of Johann Pachelbel's 366th birthday today, let's close out today's program with his Canon in D Major. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.